Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here, another episode of Beers with Chad. Today I'm joined by my longtime client and friend, River Craycraft, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. We talk about River's career path through Washington State, tearing his ACL his senior year of college into the NFL, the trials and tribulations of a guy trying to make the team, then catching on with the Broncos before finally landing with the Eagles now. Today, I'm drinking from the brewery here in Orange County, Rue Keller Hells. Cheers. And if you're interested in online coaching, Juggernaut apparel, books, visit jtsstrength.com. From Virus, use JTS10 for 10% off. From Marone, use JugLife for 20% off your first order. And if you want to get the RP Diet app, use code CWS. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
All right, another episode, Beers with Chad. Today I'm joined by Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver, River Craycraft. Not Hunter Renfro. I thought you may have been confused. He was doing rounds on Coward earlier today. Just came over here to here's the chat right after. So I'm drinking a Rukler Hells style lager from the brewery up in Placentia. The Riv has got a Golden Road Hazy IPA.
First timer for me.
Oh, so you're gonna drink it before we cheers?
Yeah.
That's a bad omen. I remember my first beer, bro.
Hey.
This is a rare non-IPA.
That's what you get for not giving me a glass.
Well, yeah.
I gotta take the first sip.
All right, now.
Now we will cheers. I do like it. I'm traditionally not an IPA guy. You know?
You're traditionally not even much of a...
I'm not even a drinker.
Yeah.
But if I do drink, I'm usually a lighter beer guy.
Like a light beer guy?
A light beer guy. Like if I drink... I usually don't even drink beer if I drink. I'm a whiskey guy.
Okay.
For sure. I like whiskey. I'm not a big drinker, but when I drink the same thing, which is whiskey Coke. So every time I'm drinking, it's whiskey Coke.
Well, I have a nice bottle of Basil Hayden under my... In my cabinet, if you want to change
it
out.
You're around too.
We'll see where the episode goes. So, you are, as we say, an OG Jugger Hound.
That's right.
We first met in 2012.
12. Yeah.
So, if you're a avid Beers with Chad watcher, our last guest Johnny Stanton, who is now a fullback for the Browns, was at one time. River's quarterback at Santa Margarita High School in Orange County, where you guys won a state championship.
We did.
And then were the preseason number one in the country the next mm-hmm. year, and you were one of, probably 91 guys?
I was one of nine.
One of 91 guys in your class, so I had the great joy of working with eight of you to help you prepare for college.
Yes.
Where you went on to be a Washington State Cougar.
That's right.
Freshman All-American.
Yes.
You can give longer answers to any of these if you'd like.
Oh, I like yours. Gassing me up right now. Yeah. I like it.
Multiple time, some level of all Pac-12.
This is true.
Spent a couple years with the Broncos.
2.5 season with the Broncos. Was cut short last year and then ended with Philly.
And so this will be your first, hopefully, full season, barring corona delays and any other unforeseen circumstances with the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right.
So let's go back to Washington State, because I feel like there could be someone who could have definitely their own podcast. Your former head coach.
He could.
The pirate captain, Captain Hook. Did you guys ever call him Captain Hook?
We did not. He was Coach Leach.
Okay.
At all times.
I kind of think, though, that he would
have appreciated being called Captain Hook.
He probably would have, but he wouldn't let you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a female thing, like where they don't tell you, but you got to know.
Or like Blackbeard Mike, something like that?
Yes.
So your coach, Mike Leach, infamous, even more so now, I guess he kind of fucked up with a tweet or something last week.
I'm not to judge, but yeah.
So this sort of mad scientist from never played football, never had coached football, really. He's like a law student at Pepperdine, something like that.
I think he played rugby of some sorts, but athletic-wise, I don't think that was his craft. I think he was more of a coach. So.
And then Texas Tech, famously, and then to...
Yes.
To Wazoo, the air raid offense, right? So, give me one story that sums up your experience with Coach Mike Leach.
Okay, I wouldn't say Coach Leach is the most. I would say, what I'm trying to say, when you think of Pete Carroll or you think of Sean Payton. You think of those guys, you kind of think of a player's coach, right? Uh-huh. I would say Mike Leach is on the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
The anti-Carroll.
Anti-Carroll, yes. He is very disciplined, structured guy.
Pete Carroll seems like he's a big, like a hugger.
Yes.
Not quite to a Dick Vermeil level.
Right, no.
But definitely...
He's someone you want to play for. Without knowing him, without being in his locker room, he's somebody you can look at and I would. Pete Carroll, for sure.
Like, if Pete Carroll was your grandpa, you would be like, my grandpa's the best grandpa ever.
100%.
Yeah. Or if Mike Leach was your grandpa, you'd be like, do we have to go see Grandpa Mike today, Mom? That kind of thing.
Definitely. All right. Definitely. Okay, so I was a four-year starter, like you said. I had some accolades to go with that, which was nice. My senior season was cut short, right? Blew my ACL out. It was tough. 2 games left in the season. I'm expecting, which I probably shouldn't have, but given the career I had, I'm expecting maybe he pulls me in his office. Hey, you know, thanks for everything. Like, contributed a lot.
Was your freshman year his first year coaching at?
It was his second year. Yeah. Technically, I was his first class, his first full class. I know he had a say in the class before me, but I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of like 50-50 or one of those deals. Some of them were already recruited. But I was his first class, so call it what you will. But anyways, so we get to senior night, right? I'm hurt. I'm not playing. God, I'm on crutches. Coach Leach, you know, I've seen senior night before, so he goes through. He talks to everybody individually. And in complete Coach Leach style, he walks up to me after 4 years.
And you're seeing him have a little bit extended heart-to-heart, brief, but
in the past, so not necessarily that night, so I'm not going to call him out for that night, but in the past, yes, you know, the guys,
he
has a little bit of extra time with them, you know, and I was never a guy who was caught up in the office, hey, what do you think about this, that, you know, I was never that guy, which is fine, I didn't need that, but, so anyways, we get senior night, and he comes up, he goes, hey, thanks. And walks off. And that was the last time I talked to him. I was like, dude, I spent 4 years here. Like, oh my God, I expect a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But in complete Coach Leach fashion, it was like just the same thing. Like, I don't know why I expected anything different, but it was.
So you had the torn ACL your senior year at Washington State. How did that affect your process of preparing for the NFL through draft, undrafted free agency, all that?
Well, to me, it was the normal because that's what I went through. So I don't know how much easier. I can assume that it would have been a lot easier not having to deal with that. I think without the injury, I think there was a possibility of things just happening faster. I don't know if I would have got drafted. If I would have, it would have been later. And I definitely would have been able to go to rookie camps and, you know, kind of do the preseason and all that stuff that's – you know, you want to do as a rookie, which I was unable to do.
And when you're already going to be a borderline, you know, low round draft pick, UFA, you need all the advantages.
You need every advantage you can. So I was a great pass catcher at WSU, but what we lacked was the confidence from the NFL that we're a skilled position group, you know? Like, the way I look at Washington State, or at least the air raid, is take a guy who goes to USC. You know, you have a big-time program. Take a guy like Juju or someone like that who caught a lot of balls there. Like, he probably ran maybe 40 routes tops a game.
Mm-hmm.
And in practice, cut that in half, you know? Where at Washington State, we're running 80 routes a game. And a half of that, 40 in practice. You know, it's like, we are just getting more reps than anyone else in the country. So, to classify people, receivers in the air raid offense as not understanding a true offense, is what they're saying, is crazy to me. It's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's always those schools that have a stigma attached to certain positions, and Texas Tech, Washington State, I guess, is combining sort of as the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's, you know, quarterbacks, it's Kingsbury, whoever, you know, there's guys who prove it right, but then there's guys like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Wes Welker or Michael Crabtree who come along and excel despite the system. So you've got two stigmas working against you.
Yeah.
You're an air raid wide receiver, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's like a thing about white wide receivers.
Okay, but who's
your favorite player ever, Wes Welker or Steve Largent?
Oh, that's hard.
Or
I've watched way more Wes Welker.
Wayne Corbett.
Throwback.
Ed McCaffrey.
I got to meet Ed, which was super cool endeavor. But Wes, I think,
Joe Jurevicius.
I don't know what it is.
It's like a McCaffrey type on the Bucks back in the day.
Okay. No. How about Vince Papale? Shout out.
Shout out to Eagle brethren, Vince Papale.
Small story, but true. In college, so Invincible is my favorite all-time movie. I grew up an Eagles fan. We didn't even get into that. We'll get into that later. But anyways.
Talk a lot for me, too.
I have a Vince Papale jersey that I bought in 2015, which is my junior season of college, that I used to wear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Philly, I was number 83. So the connection was like, I'm about to be Papale. Let's go. You know? There was no other way to think about it.
Did you meet him, or you met his son or something?
I didn't meet him. I know a mutual friend, though.
All right.
So I know Gardner Minshew trained with his son in Florida, and Gardner is going to hook me up when I go back to Philly.
All right. But so this white wide receiver thing, I want to talk about this. It's a real thing that the coaches, I think, recognize, scouts recognize, probably, you know, DBs are looking at you a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I would love to say that you just break every one of the stereotypes, but I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah, I think I fall right into that one. Looking back at, like, Mike Leach, I used to watch Wes Welker and Danny Amendola. Those were the top film guys, you know? And obviously the production moving forward was second to none also. And then you got guys like Edelman who carry off of them as well. But I used to watch those guys all the time. And there's definitely, I promise you, why do you think I wore 21 at Washington State?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amendola was 20 and Wes Welker was 27. So I was like, if I want to be the next white guy,
yeah,
I got to be a 20s number. I was going to go 23 right in the middle, but didn't work out. But anyways, yes, white stigma, 100% true.
The probably not as bad as defensive back.
Probably not.
So I think the only white corner I could think of is Jason Sehorn.
Yeah, there's not very. Anytime you think there's a white guy, he's not.
Yeah.
Like, I remember for the longest time, I thought Harrison Smith was white, and then I quickly found out he was not. He's like half or something.
No, I was going to say, this moment right now is when I just found that out.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. So you catch on as a UFA undrafted free agent, right, with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. This was late. This was I tried out for a few teams. Once I got healthy from my ACL, so let's see, take it back. I did it in November of 2016. I got healthy, it was about 11 months, so it was October of 2017, mm-hmm. right? I got healthy, I want to say October 17th-ish was the day I actually signed to the Broncos. But before that, I tried it for New England, which was awesome, obviously. I'm thinking, here's the next group that likes wide receivers, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, actually, Drew Bledsoe helped me out with that because he went to Washington State. I actually know for a fact. Shout out, Drew. Help me out.
Maybe Drew Bledsoe can send us some of his wine from his winery.
Yeah, the double back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty nice stuff. Yeah, but so Drew helped me get that tryout. That kind of got my feet wet, right? That was huge for me. Got me into the kind of the pool of, here's guys that are trying out mid-season. So I go to New England. I thought I crushed it. It was a long workout, conditioning. If you talk to anybody else who tries out for the Patriots, it's different than most. It's my style, though. I played for Mike Leach. I played for Harry Welch at San Margarita. Like, I am used to that, you know, the Bill Belichicks of the world. So I was
Dicks.
I would fall perfectly into that situation. So I go into the tryout. We have a little conditioning. We have a little this, a little that. Catch some balls, run some routes. I'm thinking, oh, this is going great. You know, didn't drop a ball. They take me into the meeting room, you know, try to get some football IQ out of me. And they're asking me about these plays. Everything's just coming out smooth, you know, when stuff's just coming out and it's just smooth. And
like Will Ferrell in Old School?
Yes. Yeah. It's just perfect.
You blacked out. Yeah. you've just drawn the entire entire scheme every play.
The whole day in my eyes, which obviously I had adrenaline. It was my first time working out in front of NFL people. I'm at the Patriots. They just come off a Super Bowl. I'm like, wow, this is, you know, couldn't go better for me. And I get to the end of the tryout and they go, and they use these words. They say, so obviously we're not going to sign you today. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's how it works. Okay.
Was that obvious?
Yeah, I was like, obviously. I was like, I'm the only guy you kept. The 9 guys to keep me in meetings. I'm like, okay. But I thought that's how it went. So I said, okay, you know, maybe I go home and they call me back. I don't know how it works. You know, it's my first gig. So I go home. They don't call me back. So I haven't talked to them since, obviously. But about a month later, I have a tryout with the Texans. And I was thinking, here's another great offense that needs a slot receiver, you know, at the time. They have DeAndre Hopkins, and they had a tight end. I don't remember his name. Bigger guy, but they kind of...
C.J. Fedorowicz.
Yes, and they used him as the slot. And I was like, okay, this is a team who needs a good slot receiver. I was like, this is a great opportunity for me. So I went into that tryout and felt very similar to how I walked out of New England. I thought, this couldn't have gone better. Wes Welker was an assistant special teams coach, so we had a natural connection out the gate, and workout went smooth, and they used the exact same words. I'm not lying. I can't make this up. They said, obviously we're not signing you. I said, what? It's like, dang, that's two teams who said, obviously we're not signing you. I was like, what is going on? A week later, tryout in Denver. This tryout was different because the two previous tryouts, other than Wes Welker, there were no coaches or anything at the workouts. Not even no GMs, no coaches, no nothing. It was just kind of player personnel guys, scouts. But at the Denver workout, you had John Elway was there. Vance Joseph was there. And my receiver coach, Ty Tolbert. All three of those guys were running this workout. There were four receivers at the time. That was it, just four receivers. And I made a team. Go out the next day.
Did they say, obviously we're going to sign you?
They did not.
That would have been sweet, sweet justice.
So I got a little like heads up before I went into all these tryouts, and it was like, hey, if they take you to the hospital after to run MRIs and scans, that's usually a sign that they're going to sign you because they like what you did on the field. Now they need to clear you, and then you're good. But in New England, I was the only guy who went to the hospital, got cleared, and then they didn't sign me. And then when I went to Houston, I was one of two guys who went to the hospital, but the other guy was like a outside linebacker or something, and then didn't sign me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Denver, this time there was only four guys at the tryout, and there were four receivers, and I was the only one who went to the hospital. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm the only opportunity they have to sign people. They have to sign me. I was like, and I had a good workout. Like, it wasn't as good as my previous two workouts, but it was a good workout. And they ended up signing me, which was awesome. You know, it was very surreal moment to walk into the Broncos building and have Elway welcome to the Broncos. You know, it was very cool. We'll be on one of my top things for a long time. But the next day, I tear my hamstring and I get cut. So that was tough. And honestly, recovering from that, which was only 8 weeks, it's a hamstring. It wasn't that hard to recover from, but it was my first hamstring ever. Just dealing with that after I had overcome the ACL was so much harder.
Same leg or a different leg?
It was the same leg. It was the same leg, which they said could have had something to do with it. It was probably the fact that I jumped right into a practice and was taking 100 reps. And
classic Craycraft move right there.
Yes. Yeah, pretty known for doing that. But what do I have a choice in that?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you finally get to a team, you're going to go all out every time. Like, so that was the case. I tear my hamstring. But during that one day, we started out practice, special teams period, kind of a walkthrough, kind of a jog-through deal. You don't get to prove much there. Then we went straight into one-on-ones, where I went 3-for-3 in the end zone against, you know, not the starters or anything. It was a bunch of, you know, third, fourth string guys. But I won all my reps.
And they're NFL players.
They're NFL players, right. In my eyes, definitely. It's my first day in the NFL.
They're definitely, and they play in the NFL. And that's something that's like,
as I've been there, you realize not everybody should be there.
I mean, well, I mean, for sure, there's levels.
Yeah.
But I was thinking it's funny, you know, from a fan's perspective, and I've never really been like a diehard fan for any team, but I see people who are, and they're yelling at the TV, and you know.
Yeah.
My best friend is like diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh.
So, you know, back up a couple of years, and he's yelling at the TV, you know, fucking Romo, you fucking suck. and it's like people who, you know, they think that their quarterback's a bum or this, you know,
yeah.
They're saying, oh, this guy sucks. And it's like, well, like even the undrafted free agents,
yeah,
were all conference, were all American in high school, were like the best people.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy, man. It's hard for me to watch games with people who aren't like,
don't get it,
very into it like I
yeah.
am, because I'm like, oh, well, that looks like the receiver went the wrong way, or, you know, there was no protection and the quarterback didn't have time. It's not the receiver's fault. It's like, I'm trying to analyze all this stuff, and, you know, my dad's over there like, fucking this guy, like, can't make a throw. I'm like, all right, you know. But anyways.
So then you have your time with the Broncos once you get healthy. Returning punts.
Yeah, so
a little bit in the slot, all that.
To pick up where we left off, I tear my hamstring, right, when I get in there. I'm down for 8 weeks. The reason why I brought up I had a good first day because of those one-on-ones is what brought me back.
Uh-huh.
They told me that. They brought me back with 2 weeks left in the season to the practice squad, signed to the practice squad, was there the whole offseason. I'm going into the next season. I'm thinking, okay, here's the situation I got. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, who's a dog, you know, and I got Demaryius Thomas, who's just the old vet who knows everything and is just a baller, you know. I'm like, okay, well, let's see where I land in this, you know, maybe special teams is the route. Then we draft Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. I'm like, all right, this is going to be tough because the year prior they drafted two receivers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't really know how this works political-wise. I don't know if when they draft somebody, you're an automatic stay. So I'm thinking, okay, well, already I'm at like 7th, which is not even on the practice squad. So I'm like, this is going to be an uphill battle for sure. So I go into the season, I end up landing the practice squad. I landed on the practice squad first. I was there for a week. I got cut. Was home for a week. Went back to Denver. Back to the practice squad, was there until midway through the season, and then got brought up after the Demaryius Thomas trade. They traded him to Houston, and I got brought up to return punts. At the time, we had Pac-Man Jones returning punts, and he was kind of our big return guy. You know, he's older. He was like in his mid-30s or something.
Yeah.
So he was an older returner, but he was basically like, All right, let's put Packham back there when we want to score a touchdown. Let's put River back there when we want a fair catch, because we know who'll catch it. Uh-huh. So that was kind of my role.
Fair catch specialist. That's the thing, you know, why part of the reason I wanted to have you and Johnny on was when people think about playing in the NFL, you know, fans do not think of practice squad guys and guys on futures contracts and injured reserve. And, I mean, even that sequence you just described, you know, in the course of 18 months, you went from, you know, trying out for the team to making the team to tearing your hamstring to, so you were on, were you on injured reserve or just gone? Cut. So the cut, then back on the team, then down to seventh, you know, or projected probably seventh on the depth chart.
At best.
Yeah. To practice squad, to cut, to back on the practice squad.
Yeah.
To, you know, it's, you're going from Denver back to California. You know, it's a very volatile, uncertain life. And, like, you know, at the whim of a coach, you know, for really any reason, your life changes while their life is unaffected.
Yeah, it does, and it's a part of it. I got cut 5 times from the Broncos, the fifth one obviously being the last one. But it's a process, and that's not even half of it. That's not even the on-field stuff. You got to deal with, you know, I mean, my first day stepping on the field going into the following season. You know, when I first got there with 2 weeks left in the season after I recovered from the hamstring, I was just here, go play this role for 2 weeks while our season ends, and I was just on the practice squad. But the next year, you're kind of like, oh, let's figure this out. Who's going to make the team? Who's not? I wasn't even on the depth chart for anything.
Yeah.
Like, special teams would come out. There'd be, like, 9 guys on the depth chart for one position, and I wouldn't even be on there. I'm sitting there like, God damn, like, what do I got to do? So yeah. I just started going back to returner. And weird enough, I ended up being the returner.
And then it's like you get one rep.
Yeah.
And
usually you don't get a rep. You won't get an actual, because the plays are scripted, right? So you got, you know, there's 9 guys on the depth at returner. There's only 5 reps in practice. So 4 of those guys aren't getting reps. I'm not even on the depth. So you got to get on the depth by proving to them after practice.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the coach is watching you while you're catching punts after practice. Maybe he's not. So it's like every day you got to go do it before, after, like whenever you can maybe catch an eye. It's not that you're doing it so people can see, like, you, but you have just to, like, be
seeing,
recognized.
Seeing two coaches having a conversation, and you're like, all right, I'm just going to run back there behind.
Exactly. Dude, that's so true. Like,
catch punts.
It's not like you're slacking off when the coaches aren't paying attention, but you want them to see.
Yeah.
So in a guy in my position where nobody even knows who I am, which is what I'm going to walk into in Philadelphia again, which is fine. Like,
yeah, right. You're the reincarnation of Vince Papale.
That's right. But yeah, so coaches aren't even going to look at you. But if you brush by them, you know, when they're standing there talking, they're going to be like, what the fuck? So they're going to look, you know, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to, you know, if they like you, then they'll start talking to you. And if not, then they won't. But in Denver, I got lucky because I started catching punts and I started catching kick returns and I wasn't dropping them. So eventually found myself on the depth chart. And then one after another, you know, somebody drops a couple and I move up a spot. And somebody drops a couple and I move up a spot. And then eventually I was the one who took over the job, which was nice. Very satisfying feeling.
Are you wearing your Vince Papale jersey into the facility first day with the Eagles?
No, and here's why.
Are you going to have feathered, beautiful hair like Mark Wahlberg does in that movie?
100%, actually.
All right.
The long hair is coming. But I was 83 my first week with Philly. I was only there for 2 weeks, last 2 weeks of the season. I was 83, and they took it from me the last week. Now, and then I was 6. So I was like, 6. It's not even a receiver number.
All right. I thought 80 numbers are out. No one likes the 80s.
It's kind of out of style. Yeah. But I will 100% wear 83. Because tradition.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in a situation like that, very few wide receivers have movies made about them.
Yeah.
So he may be the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. I don't know. I like 80s numbers. I'm a big, like, I wore 11 in Denver. I like the same, like, I like 88. I think it's cool. But
88's a classic. Playmaker.
Yeah. You know?
The, so, we've got the Corona mania going on. So we've been training together along with our speed coach, Les Spellman, you started maybe a week or two after the combine guys did, so like middle of January.
Yeah.
And training, getting stronger, Mr. 300.
That's right.
Running, how many miles an hour did you end up running?
21.3.
I thought you ran 22 one day. I could have sworn that Les posted something of you running 22 the other day.
He may have.
Okay, so 22. Well, let's call it 22. Getting stronger, getting faster, doing all this good stuff, and then boom, Corona hits, and the whole thing gets messed up. How has your life, been affected by that?
In the grand scheme of things, not much. But it's shitty because I no longer have the group atmosphere, which drives me completely. The competitive nature, it's so important for me to have. We were training with Bachman, was kind of like my wingman, right? Like, we were both training together, and he was better than me at a lot of different things, which was super awesome to have because I'm constantly trying to match that or be better than that. And I think it was the same for him. I was an older guy to him, and maybe I'm better at one thing and he's better at the other. So we were kind of piggybacking off each other, which was huge.
Look at Bachman into the camera right now. So we know Bachman can run faster than you.
Bachman is faster.
And he can lift more than you, but who's better at playing wide receiver?
Me. I mean, non-negotiable, right? No, real talk. I think what I bring to the table with Bachman is I am a crafty person. I am a technician, and I kind of bring that to the table as far as route running skills. Bachman brings energy and just like raw talent. And what I think I was helping him with was the technical side of football. And what he was helping me with was that also, but more speed, strength, like develop yourself, like quit being in your bubble of comfort, like get outside and whatever, whatever you want to call it.
So you and I have talked about this a little bit, I think. You get wide receivers, and you didn't do a pro day or the combine because you had the ACL stuff. Yeah. What's the fastest 40 you've ever run?
I don't know, man. Like, I also don't even know how legit it was. It had to be in like high school, which was probably like a 4.7. I don't know.
I probably timed it then if it was in high school.
Yeah, probably it was probably you.
Yeah, we use lasers, bro. I don't remember what your time was up. But let's say
probably like 4.3.
So let's say you're a 4.6 40 guy. Other famous members of the not particularly fast 40 yard dash club, Jerry Rice,
yeah.
Tim Brown, Chris Carter,
Wes Welker,
TJ Hushmanzada, Chad Johnson. But they play super fast.
Yeah.
What creates that? What skill or talent does a wide receiver have, or any player have, that allows them to play faster than maybe they run? In a pure testing standpoint.
So pure. Gotta be smart. That's something I learned at a young age, which was huge. And I think that's why I had the success I had even at San Margarita, because I knew I wasn't the fastest guy. Other guys would blow by me all the time. But I knew the process of setting up routes, and I knew how to understand leverage and how to understand space when you're running a route and you have to slow down or something. Like, I knew that at a young age.
I remember seeing that, doing drills, like conditioning drills with you guys in high school. So we had Forrest in that same group.
Yeah.
And he was another high school player at maybe 12 or 15 guys Rivers senior year that finishing their senior year of high school, getting them ready to go to college.
Jugger rounds.
Yes. When was the best shape you were ever in your life?
Right now.
But before that?
Before that, 100% going to college.
Yes. Yeah. So this kid, Forrest Denovan, who's from a rival school of Rivers, he's bigger, he's taller, heavier,
faster,
stronger, crazy, like bouncy dude.
Yeah,
huge jumps, very, very fast guy. But if it was run, in a straight line, he was much faster. But if it was run a route, if it was play football, you played much, much faster than him.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. And that's not a knock on Forrest, but understanding the game is very important to success when it comes to athletes versus not like not as quite good athletes.
Yeah.
You know.
And you think it just becomes a thing, you know, at its core of you're matched up with a linebacker, a nickel corner, or safety, whatever, coming out of the slot, mm-hmm. and you know where you're going and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And you take that advantage and exploit it.
That's it. You want me to explain it?
I mean, that's
or you're just saying that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So give me an example of that. Like, how that might happen.
Of, like, me coming up to the line saying, I know what I'm doing and you don't know what I'm doing?
Yeah. I mean, like, you see them shaded inside, outside, whatever it is.
Well, like, let's say, like, the basics. Like, if they're in, like, a cloud coverage or something, and the backer, I know that the backer, if he walks over me, let's say I'm in the slot, we'll call it I'm on the right side of the ball. So if I have a backer inside leverage on me, and I look out to the corner, and I look out to my safety, that's my triangle. That's what we call it, the triangle. It's kind of the first thing you look at when you get out on the field. You line up, where's my triangle? So you find those three guys. If you see your safeties off the hash, you see the corner down, this is base, no disguise, nothing. You see the backer, he's got inside leverage. You say, okay, I'm getting a cloud look here. So if I'm running pick a route, say I'm going, let's just go vertical. Got a go ball, you know, from the slot.
Craycraft special,
yeah. That's right. But where I excel is, excuse me, knowing that I have a go ball versus cover two, that I'm not going to take it up the seam because I have the safety over the top and I have the backer walling me. So that backer's not going to let me inside. He's got inside leverage. He's told me that by his stance, you know. I know the safety's going to bail because he's got half the field. So I'm going to be inside leverage on him. I'm not worried about the corner because he's out of the picture. So what I'm going to do is they could do one of two things. Now you got to take a look at the mic after you pass this first backer. You take your route. You're probably looking around 6 or 7 yards. You're going to look, find that mic backer. If they're in like a Tampa coverage, he's going to be back deep middle, you know, old school Tampa. Mic drops is basically
When the Bears ran that, Urlacher, great.
That's because he was a safety.
At that deep middle route.
Because he was a safety. Yeah, no, but yeah, so he's basically like a short safety, right? He's probably playing 15 to 25, right? Essentially, maybe a little bit shorter, maybe like 12 to 22 or something. But anyways, let's just say he's in a normal look. He's not dropping back in Tampa. So I'm passing the outside backer. I got my eyes on the mic. I also got my eyes on the safety just in case he holds. But once I get past that guy, I know he's not taking deep. I just got to cut it right up the middle of the field. You're basically running the post. So this is where my game excels because I know that all this stuff's going on. So I know that I'm going to bend it. And I know off the snap of the ball, if anything changes, I'm looking at my safety. He's going to either rotate down or he's going to rotate away from me. He's only got two options, you know. So if he rotates away from me, I'm just going to run vertical. I'm just going to stay straight because there's no help. You know, he doesn't have help. He's got that corner outside. I'm gonna stay away from the safety, and I'm gonna trust the quarterback to bring me in to keep me away from the corner. So that's an easy bang bang. I wish I had a whiteboard to draw all this up.
It's right there.
Yeah, whiteboard right there. Yeah. Anyways, I know I'm going in circles here, but the main point is knowing your like when you get up to the line, having a plan, and when shit goes sideways, you know how to adjust.
Yeah, and then that like from more of a sports science, I guess, standpoint, it's that ability to visually process
mm-hmm.
very rapidly what's happening.
Yeah.
Because someone might be able to walk up to the line and look at, or look at a picture of it and be like, this is what I have to do, and just describe what you did. But
right.
Doing it in real time is a lot different. Doing it when, you know, the defense is moving around and they're in these places for a half a second before the ball is snapped, changes it again, and then you get a bunch of, you know, 250 pound dudes running 4-4s all over the place, and
so
shit changes.
In high school and in college, I would definitely say my game elevated when I got to college. It was not quite on the thought process that I am now, you know, of like, oh, let me recognize my shell, let me get up, look at my triangle. I was not doing that in high school. You know, I was lined up saying, I have a slant, let me run a slant and beat that guy. You know, that was my goal in high school. But in college, I started to understand, okay, well, sometimes he's going to let me beat him. I got to worry about that guy, you know? So that was when my game kind of went to the next level. But
you started, when you switched from playing checkers to chess?
Is it checkers to chess or chess to checkers?
Well,
Yeah, I feel like that one.
It's a great debate, though. I mean, checkers is a much simpler game.
Yes, okay, all right.
Either way. Maybe not the perfect, not a perfect metaphor. Who's your favorite wide receiver to watch now, currently in the NFL?
Edelman.
Julian Edelman?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best wide receiver in the NFL, all doing, if could put him in any spot?
See, that's tough. If you're going to say who's the best at what he does, it's Edelman. If you're going to say who's, like, if I'm looking for, like, a Calvin Johnson type player, I'm going to say, like, probably Julio. I think Julio, but Edelman, like, if Julio was in the slot, he would not be Edelman, you know?
I guess then it becomes, would Julio be closer to Edelman in the slot than Edelman is to Julio in Julio's role?
I think it's equal.
Maybe.
I think, but okay, what I would argue is...
Larry Fitzgerald just figures out how to do it all.
Oh, he's so great. Yeah, that's a great argument, actually, is Larry. I want to say DeAndre Hopkins, but he's not really a route runner, so I could throw him in that hat. But I would say DeAndre Hopkins and Julio are very similar. But Julio's a route runner. But Julio's not as good of a route runner as Julian. So, I don't know. I would say it's equal. From Julian playing outside receiver is probably very far off from Julio. But Julio playing slot receiver, maybe it's not equal, but Julio would just win because he's big.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, not that he can't run routes, but he cannot run like Julian.
He does have skills that cannot be coached.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But when you talk lateral movement, when you talk this, like, shake, pure shake, he doesn't have shake. Like, he's got, I'm bigger than you, and I'm faster than you, and stronger than you. I don't run my route, you're going to get out of my way. You know, that's kind of his MO. And then he goes up over the top of people. And then he outruns people. It's nice. I wish I had that. But I don't.
I mean, you're probably just old enough to remember the NFL 2K, would have been like NFL 2K1. That was really the jam. They had the Vikings, Culpepper at quarterback, Randy Moss. Randy Moss was just a cheat code on there. Chris Carter, Robert Smith coming out of the backfield.
That's a dangerous crew right
there. Yeah, Culpepper could throw it as far. Yeah, he was probably 99 on the throw power. And Randy Moss, that was just automatic touchdown.
Yeah. Randy, he's got to be the greatest. Just gifted.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Rice's stats are so far beyond anyone else's. And his production so far.
If you want to calculate stats, it's no doubt Jerry Rice.
His production is so far beyond anyone else's, and the Super Bowls and stuff. I guess wide receivers don't really get measured by Super Bowls the same way that quarterbacks do. Mm-hmm. But Jerry Rice could never do the things that Randy Moss did.
No.
Yeah. I guess it's, you know, just an extension of the same Julio Edelman conversation. Could Randy Moss have done the things that Jerry Rice did within that system? Harder to say. I have heard Tom Brady say that Randy Moss is like one of the smartest football players he ever played with.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Yeah, I saw there was a little clip on it. Came out not too long ago. It was like Randy, Belichick, and someone else. It was on TV. It was like a bunch of broadcasters.
Oh, like the NFL 100.
Yeah. They had like a little, like a short segment on, like, him being smart.
Yeah.
And he kind of went back through like a series in one game, and he's kind of describing, like, dude, that was like 15 years ago.
No one ever says you just got riced when some guy just, you know, runs a great sluggo and.
Yeah, but you take a non-football specialist and you say, who's the greatest receiver in the CJ Rice?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Which is hard to argue, but. Yeah, the stats are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Recently benched 300 pounds.
That's right.
Some people refer to you as Mr. 300.
That's right.
Where does that rank in your life accomplishments?
It's up there. I've never been a bench press guy, ever, you know? I didn't even do 275 until with you, like 2 months ago, or a month ago, or whatever
it was. I think you did like 275 in high school.
I don't think so. If I did, that was the highest I got.
Yeah, I don't know that I have records of this anymore. If there's one guy who stands out as, like, the most physically impressive player you've been around, high school, college, NFL, who would that be?
Just, like, worked out with?
Yeah.
Julio.
Yeah. And I didn't even get to work out with him. I was just present in the workout. So yeah. I had a workout at a field nearby, and Julio came. Actually, the whole Atlanta team came. Or not the whole team, but the whole offensive. It was like Matt Ryan, Julio, Sanu, Ridley was new.
Calvin Ridley, yeah.
He was, yeah, he wasn't even with it. Or he had just been drafted.
Austin Hooper.
Hoop was there. And then they had two, like Hardy was there. Something Hardy. I don't know. Two other guys. Marvin Hall, I think, was the other guy. Anyways, so I obviously was not part of their session because they were doing like a full offensive thing. But I worked out like an hour before and just stayed around. So I was like, I'm going to watch Julio Jones.
He was like some kind of like Alabama State lifting champion in high school.
It did not surprise me at all.
As was Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was stronger, but Julio was like, yeah, like a coming out of high school, and this is, you know, according to recruiting websites and Rivals or whatever, was benching 350, squatting 550, cleaning 350, something like that.
So it would not be shocked.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy that I'd assume you just see him take, you know, three steps.
Yeah.
And he just punishes the ground with his feet. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. Watching him run routes is just like, he's like, I just stood there the whole time like, oh my God. How the hell does anybody cover this guy?
Yeah.
He's so big. His strides are so long. I'm like, dude, this is a cheat code. Like, yeah. And then everybody's seen him jump up and get the ball. Like, it's ridiculous. I saw a clip the other day. It was his catch on Malcolm Butler. You know what I'm talking about? Where he rips it out of his
hand. Yeah.
I'm like, this is just, I could watch it on a loop like 100 times. Like, it's just so appealing.
All right, Rip. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Good
yes,
luck
sir.
This season.
Thanks Cheers. For having me on. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
OG Jargerhounds out.